If you'll notice 1 Samuel 18, and I'm going to begin in 1 Samuel chapter 17, but I want you to notice, if you'll look up this way, I'm just going to take and tell you the story. David is 17 years old. He is a redheaded shepherd, and he is keeping his father's sheep, and he's learned to trust the Lord. God has given him an amazing ability to be fearless. Audie Murphy had that ability. Audie Murphy was 5'7". How many of you know who he is? The most decorated American soldier in history to his point. Won the Silver Cross, the Congressional Medal of Honor. He was just fearless, and God protected him. Now, we don't have any idea why, but God protected David the same way. When I was on vacation, I drove by Audie Murphy's museum, and I watched through sort of someone that I really admire a lot. And I went through, and I said, wow, 5'7", very non-assuming, and probably David was much the same way. Well, Goliath comes out, yells out, and he's 9'9" tall, about. A span is this part. A cubit is from here to here. And so he's 6.5 cubits, so he's about 9'9", and one of the tallest men to ever live. And he comes out, and he's got his armor on. He's got a spear in his hand. He's got a shield in his hand. And he's got someone that carries another shield for him. And he's a man of war. And he's the greatest soldier the Philistines have. Well, David goes out, and he says, look, he starts running toward him, goes down to the stream. You know the story. He gets 5 smooth stones, and he's got a little slingshot. Now, David had practiced with his slingshot and his rod. Now, rod is about this long, about 2 inches in diameter, and it is as deadly as anything you would have if it's used right. You throw that rod, it twists in the air, and when it hits on the end, it can kill a mountain lion. It can kill a human. It can kill a bear if it's the right way. It is 2.5 pounds, and if it's thrown right, like I said, it is sort of like it has to hit on the end with the centrifugal force as it's coming, but that's what the rod was for. And so they had a staff that was a long stick that had a crook in it so they could reach down a crag and pull up a little lamb. But the rod was for defense. David was expert with the rod and with a slingshot. And so I remember growing up having a slingshot and shooting birds and practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing and practicing. I remember taking a BB gun, and that was all they would trust me with when I was growing up for a while. So I got a BB gun, and I set up a table, and I put a toothpick on the BB in the cracks of the table, and I get back, and I'd practice shooting at the toothpick with my BB gun. And, you worked at it, and you worked at it. So I can imagine David out as a shepherd boy with no one around, practiced 24/7. So he was deadly with that slingshot. And a slingshot was a long rope with a pocket in it. And you take it, put one in your finger here, one in your finger here. You put that rock in it. You'd spin around. It was just like a gun. And you'd let one end of it go, and that it'd throw that rock like a bullet. Well, you know the story. It went down. He grabbed 5 smooth stones. Does anybody know why we think he got 5 smooth stones? Anybody know why we think that? He had 4 brothers. He didn't know if he's going to have to whip them all or just Goliath. But he gets his 4 smooth stones. He puts them in his pouch, puts the 5th one in his slingshot, and he walks down and he looks at him. He says, look, you're going to die today because the Lord of heaven is going to help me. And he takes that slingshot, and Goliath has got this helmet on, and it's got a piece that's open so his eyes can see. And David put it right there, and he fell backwards. And David got his own sword and cut off his head. And then he grabs his head. And keep in mind, this is a 17-year-old kid carrying a 9'9" Goliath's head racking around with him, and he doesn't have a clue as to what's going on. The country is going ballistic. We're free of the Philistines. We've got a mighty warrior in our hands, and David is just simply doing what he feels like God wanted him to do. And he brings the head in, and we're going to take verse 57. This is 1 Samuel 17:57. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. So David is just doing the thing that he knew God wanted him to do, defend his country. And so he brings that head in, and Saul says, Saul's now the king. He says, who in the world is this kid? Remember, Saul is 6 feet six or 6 foot tall. He's 6 inches taller than everybody in his country. So he's looking down on everybody else. He looks down on David, and he says, who in the world is this? Saul didn't have the courage or backbone to go fight Goliath, but David did. So it's not the size of the man, it's the size of the fight in the man. Just remember that. It's the size of the courage of the man. And God gives courage when we don't have it. And that's what God did to David. So David goes and wins the victory. And so they're having a victory parade. And David is riding behind Saul. And Saul, now keep in mind, David is a national hero. The place is going crazy. And he's riding in this real cool chariot with spinners probably that are spinning on it, you know. And he's going down and he's really enjoying it. And all of a sudden the women start singing. They sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Saul pulls up his horse. What? Read, if you would, 1 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 5. David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely, and Saul set him over the men of war. He's now the general of the country in charge of the entire army, maybe 600,000 men. He's 17 years old. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people. Not only did he have the position, but he had the respect. Also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet Saul with tabrets and joy, with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And that very song stuck in Saul's heart. That sentence ruined David's life. That sentence. Now look at verse 8. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day and forward. In other words, that one statement changed Saul's heart forever. And there are times in our lives when something happens, we do something good for somebody, and somebody brags on it, and they hear it, and it strikes jealousy in the heart. Why is it they don't look at me? Now, Saul had a chance to go fight the Philistine for 30 days, and every one of those days he went to his tent, closed his flaps, and said, I'm not going to go fight him. I'm the king of the country. They need me. I don't need to die today. And so what I'm trying to say to you is all of us in this room, there are going to be sometimes when you're good to somebody and they're bad to you. And so keep in mind now, Saul is now trying to figure out how to get rid of David. Nobody knows it, but he hates David. Jealousy turns respect and love into fear and hatred in a moment. And you and I have to protect our hearts from jealousy. We have to protect our hearts from bitterness. Everybody here's got to protect your heart. It will happen to you because it's a natural phenomenon of our human bodies and our human hearts. When we don't feel like we get the respect that we deserve, and that's why as God's children, we learn to say, Lord, you are the one that I want respect from and nothing else matters. Oh, don't get me wrong, our testimony matters, but Lord, I want you to be pleased with me. And folks, today, if I could ever get you to learn one lesson, it's live for heaven's sake. It's live to stand in front of the Lord. We're going to look at that in the message this morning. But it's live to where you can hear the Lord say, well done, I'm proud of you. Live for that. Don't live for your 401k. Don't live for your family this or family that. Don't live for the respect of a church family. Don't get me wrong. We all want to do the right thing, and those things come. You saw David had the respect of a country because he did a brave thing. But that wasn't his intent. And all of us in this room, what is your intent? I want to please the Lord and leave the results to the Lord. So I want to just take just a minute. David was terribly wronged, and Saul is now filled with jealousy. Okay, I want you to listen to just some of the things. I'm going to go down with them. You don't have to turn there. I just want you to get the message of this passage, really. One, David delivered Saul and Israel from the Philistines, from their enemies. So he delivers them, sets them free by killing Goliath, and the country got enough bravery to go defeat the Philistines. So David's just national hero, but now Saul is jealous. He's bitter toward David because he's getting all the respect. Now, why wouldn't he? He fought the battle that Saul was not willing to do. But Saul's mind is twisted. So notice, number one, he planned to shame David. Maybe David would quit. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. And Saul was afraid of David. Jealousy causes fear. We said that. Notice, if you would, in verse 13. Therefore, Saul removed him from him and made him captive over 1,000. And you sound like that. Hey, made him captive over 1,000. You know what he did? He demoted him from general to captain. That quick. David didn't do anything wrong. And I'm sure everybody's saying, why is he only got him over 1,000 men? He's over all the battle. He's the general. David didn't say a word. Notice what he does in verse number 10. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. So the Lord does not send evil spirits. The Lord does not send those things, but he backs up and allows things because the old devil tries to attack us. No evil comes from the Lord, but all evil comes from the old devil, but it has to pass through the Lord's permission first. So then the Lord has a purpose for it, and the Lord uses the old devil's plans to make us stronger. How many have ever lifted weights? How many ever lifted weights? Okay? You got weights and you lift them. How many of you really enjoy that? You put 200, 300, 400 pounds on it, and you're trying to lift it, and you're doing your best, and it won't go up. How many of you enjoy that? Well, nobody does. You know why? Because the weight's too much. But you're trying, you're struggling. Anybody ever got the weights right here and your arms started shaking and you just can't get it up and you don't want to quit and you can't get it up and finally you just run out of energy? Well, you know what? There are times whenever, if we're not real careful, we won't have the ability to lift the weight. But if you keep practicing it, you get stronger. So God has a choice to say, I'll leave Pittman weak, or I'll send him a little extra weight and let him get a little stronger. So the goal is God is trying to make all of us stronger day by day. And the way he does that is by allowing Satan to tempt us, to try us. And so Saul fails. He gets jealous and bitter. Notice, if you would, in verse 11, and Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. So Saul tried to kill David with a spear twice. That's great payment for being a national hero. Talking about somebody being mistreated, that's about as bad as it gets. Well, then, let me give you one a little worse. Look down in verse number 20. And Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. She fell in love with David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. And he said, I will give him that she may be a snare to him. So now Saul is using his own daughter to try to kill David. How? He says there's what's called a dowry system. You've got to give something to the king in order to pay for his daughter. So he says, look, I want you to go kill me 100 Philistines, soldiers, by yourself. So David not only does that, he kills 200 of them. So understand, Saul is using his daughter as a way to get David killed. He doesn't realize David doesn't care, and the Lord is with David. Now, if David were a normal man, he'd have been dead already. But the Bible says safety is of the Lord. And so the Lord provides safety for all of us. If you're in the Lord's will, you're in the safest place. I don't care if you're in the middle of a battle in Cambodia. You're safe because the Lord stands up for you. I remember reading a little article about George Washington at the very beginning, whenever he was leading the American troops against the Indians in the Northeast. And the Indian chief said, you know, I told all my men that shoot arrows and guns that were absolutely the best marksmen in our tribe, and they never miss. And they shot at him, and they put bullet holes in his coat. They shot his horse out from under him, but nothing hit him. And the Indian chief, later on, whenever the war was over, they called the chief in, and he was standing before a group of men, and they said, there was a day when we tried to kill your president, but he said there was something protecting him that we know not of, because my best marksman could not hit him, none of them. So we know there was a higher power that protected him. George Washington's just doing what he does, leading his men, leading his country. But he kept losing horses. They get shot out from under him. He would take his coat off and had bullet holes through him. Who controls that? The God of heaven does. So safety is of the Lord. And the Lord has a plan and a purpose. Well, you'll notice, and not only that, David, then Saul, take your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel 22. And notice this. 1 Samuel 22. David goes, he's wandering around because Saul is hunting him, and he goes to his friends that are the priests. And you'll notice in verse number 8, and he's looking for a sword. And then in verse 8, this is 1 Samuel 22, 8. And then all of you have conspired against me. There is none that showeth me that my son hath made a league with the son of Jesse. There's none of you that is sorry for me. Now that's one of the points of being jealous. You get in a pity party. You say, no one's helping me. Why is it no one feels sorry for me? So you see, Saul's jealousy is creating a real mess in his heart. And he looks at his own soldiers and his own people and says, why is it no one's feeling sorry for me? Well, you'll notice in verse number 10, David inquired of the Lord, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. And this is Abimelech. You'll notice in verse number 9, and then he answered Doeg the Edomites, which set over the servants of Saul and said, I saw the son of Jesse come to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and he inquired of the Lord for him and gave him victuals and gave him the sword of Goliath the Philistine. And the king sent to call Ahimelech the priest, the son of Ahitub, and all his father's house. You know what he did? He killed every one of them for helping David. All 85 of David's friends. Now David is not only a fugitive, not only has been demoted, not only was he given a wife that he can't be with because it was a trick. He has no friends left. He's running for his life. And the friends that he does have, Saul comes and kills them all. David was wronged. Just remember that. Like no one of us will ever be wronged. And you have to understand, David was well behaved. He treated Saul wonderfully. Saul was jealous. David was just. David said, I'm going to do the right thing. And so you'll notice, look at 1 Samuel 18 and verse number 14. Saul tries to kill him twice with a javelin, the Bible says in verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. So when you treat jealous people justly, the Lord says, I'll be with you. I'll stand up with you. I'll take care of this. That doesn't mean it happens quickly. David ran for his life for many years until finally he amassed a group of men that were, they were criminals. They had no place to go, so they attached themselves to David. Now, David still did what was right, and you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Samuel 24, David and his men are asleep in a cave. They hear Saul. Saul comes in that same cave with his men. His men lay around him, and David and his men are up against the walls of the cave. And his men say to David, David, God has been so good to you. He brings your enemy to you to kill. Take out your dagger. Three steps through his heart, and we're all free. And David said, how can I touch someone that God himself made king? I can't touch the Lord's anointed. What? So David cuts off the hem of his garment. Saul gets up, goes outside, goes another 400 or 500 yards off. And David says, oh, Saul, oh, is that you, David? He says, Saul, I could have killed you tonight. And my men bade me to kill you. But David not only didn't kill them, he refused the peer pressure to do what they wanted. Now understand, their lives were in jeopardy too. Saul was trying to kill them for helping David. So they had every reason to want David to kill Saul, but David would not do it. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to notice, if you would, 1 Samuel 24, and I want you to see this. Verse number 9. 1 Samuel 24, 9. And David said to Saul, wherefore hearest thou men's words? Why are you listening to people, Saul, that says, behold, David seeketh thy hurt. David's trying to kill you. David's trying to take the kingdom. Verse 10, behold, this day thine eyes have seen how that the Lord had delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave. And some bade me kill thee, but mine eyes spared thee. And I said, I will not put forth mine hand to my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. And you'll notice, if you would, verse 12, David not only was just, Saul was jealous, but David let the judgment up to the Lord. Verse 12, the Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord judge me of thee, but mine hand shall not be upon thee. David said, I'm not going to be the one to kill you. I'm going to leave you in the Lord's hands. I'm going to pray for you that you turn your heart around, but I'm not going to touch you. And notice verse 17, this is Saul's response. And he said to David, thou art more righteous than I, for thou rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And folks, that's the goal of every Christian in this room. We learn to reward people that do us evil with good. That's God's plan. And if they're jealous of us, we're just. If they're jealous of us, we're righteous. We do the right thing. If they're jealous of us, we do what's just and leave the judgment up to the Lord and let the Lord make the decision. And the Bible says the Lord was with him. He left Saul and went to David. In other words, the Lord's going to bless the one that does the right thing. And so that's exactly what happened in David's life. And you'll know the story. Eventually, David receives the joy of his life because he becomes king. He never planned on it, never asked for it, but God said, I love your heart. And if you read the book of Acts, 2,000 years later, you'll find that God says, David was a man after my own heart. So the key to it is this. Do you love the Lord and you want to please the Lord? Lord, I want to be like you. I want you to be pleased with me. And God says, I love David's heart. So he just kept elevating him. He finds him sitting on a rock watching 50 sheep for his daddy. And he says, that's the young man I'm going to use. Because the lion comes out and David takes his rod, grabs that lion and kills him. We can't do that. But if the Lord is with us, we can. Same thing with a bear. And God says, I love his character. I'm going to use him. So then he sends him with a lunch to kill Goliath. He takes lunch to his brothers. And God begins to move him, use him. And God is working in David's life to make him a strong king by letting him run for his life because of Saul's jealousy. I don't understand it all. I just know that God never forsakes the righteous. So this morning, how do you treat those people that treat you? If they're jealous of you, they're mean to you, would they say this, thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I rewarded you with evil. Today, let's represent the Lord well. Father, I thank you for the lesson we can learn of David and his character and his love for you. I pray that you'd help us to live this week. In your name we pray. Amen.